Welcome back. This is Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual back at you once again. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. We had a different episode planned for today, but it's just one of those things where things happen. And, whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing, with this podcast that we have an opportunity kind of share our thoughts, share our feelings. And today, for a lot of fans and a lot of people, I would imagine, not just the people next to us, today is a sad day for the world, and everybody's been talking about it. And of course, today, on this day, Sunday, and I believe it is the January 26th, Kobe Bean Bryant tragically passed away in a helicopter accident that took the life of himself, his 14-year-old,
his eldest daughter,
Gianna, and from last we heard, seven other people actually. Right. So
really,
yeah. Unfortunately, the sheriff people. I don't know what the name is. Yeah. The sheriff basically said that there was nine people on that compliment.
Wow.
So I kind of wanted to talk about Kobe Bryant today. His death, his legacy, memories. But for those people especially that are listening to this, please know that we do this for fun. We do this as a way to express ourselves, and we never claim to be experts. We never claim to be sports analysts or anything like that. This is just really us sitting down, kind of needing to talk to people, because that's, I don't know about you guys, and I'm just going to throw that to you guys to start the episode, is, how I've been feeling. Lewis kind of mentioned it a couple minutes ago, the idea of people who passed away and who you would feel such passion for if somebody passed away. And I have to tell you, I've talked about this with my wife. There are all these different people that passed away in the last couple of years. I remember when Prince passed away, there were a lot of people who were, upset. There were, over the years, there's been people, famous people that have been upset. And I am one of those people who are like, I don't get it. I don't get why people are so upset about this situation. I get it. It's a famous person, somebody that influenced you in your life, but never once has there ever been anybody that, aside from loved ones that passed away, never once have I had a famous person that I never really knew, aside from seeing on TV, aside from, seeing and hearing interviews and everything. I never really knew this person, but the gut-wrenching feeling I had when I found out. And the weird part about it is that the way I found out was actually from you guys. Mm-hmm. I just came out of a practice, and then I looked at it, and I just saw, Kobe question mark. Yeah. I was like, oh crap.
Our phones must have been blowing up, right? I mean, all of my messages, my Instagram, everything was like alerts all morning. I was like, what happened? I just stepped out of the convenience, or I'm sorry, the grocery store, and I'm just like, did something happen? But yeah, totally on the same boat.
I guess let's start with it. How did you take it? Where, you said you were in the supermarket. Now, what were the first thoughts? What were the first reactions that you felt when you heard the news?
Denial, total and utmost denial. Because, when I came back from the store, I'm looking at my phone. I get first it was one text message, then a Facebook Messenger message, then two and three, then another text message, and then my brother calls. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? So I check my phone. I put the groceries down. I see the first thing I see is a message that just read Kobe. How your phone gives you kind of a bit of what the rest of the text message says. And I was like, oh, what's going on? So denial at first. Because it's like you mentioned earlier, it's one of those passings where you never... that's a tragedy of accidents, I guess, and whatnot. It comes out of nowhere. Like you mentioned earlier, I think the most comparable thing for me would be like when Stan Lee passed away last year. It was tragic, yes. It was sad, but he lived a full life. He was 98. Unfortunately, toward the end of his life, his health wasn't at its best. And not to be a nihilist, but we kind of knew it was like, okay, you know, we have a few more moments left with Stan, the man. So let's enjoy his life. Let's appreciate what he's done. But to be taken away at 41, you know, at the peak of his post-basketball career, when he's still having a huge impact on LA sports, LA culture, basketball, sports in general, it's just insane. So, like, the first thing you can do is just deny it and just think it's unbelievable that could happen. I think that's, if you look at our messages, that's like the first things that you and I both say, like, no way, no way. And then we take a moment and look through the whole thing. So it was just, first moments are just like unbelievable.
Yeah, I was the same way. I remember being on Twitter, because, you know, yeah. Twitter, and someone had mentioned it, and I was like, no, it's probably, you know, a fake news story, or it's just a hoax, like everybody kept on saying. It's like, oh, it's a hoax. And I was literally just kept on scrolling, and it was like, oh, no news yet, so they, you know, it can't be true. And people were texting me, they're like, do you know? I was like, I've read some stuff, but, you know, nothing's confirmed, so I'm not going to say anything until something's confirmed. And then, you know, you see the people who are never lie about news articles, and they were like, yeah, confirmed that there was an accident, and it's possible that he was one of the, you know, people on the flight, and it's just, you know, it was super surreal. Like, literally watching the game last night, the Laker game, the whole deal was not the fact that LeBron James was going to be the third highest scorer in NBA history. That wasn't the story. The story was LeBron James passes Kobe Bryant as the third highest scorer in NBA history. Right, yeah. Like, the narrative has always been the two pitted against each other, even though they've, you know, they came in at kind of different intervals. And the fact that LeBron James now a Laker, whereas he comes into the organization that Kobe had, you know, basically owned for 20 years when it was his property. And but getting to see that he did, you know, embrace the fact that, yeah, you are now part of our legacy. You are a Laker. So no matter what differences we had in the past, or, you know, any kind of like confrontations or whatnot, that's over, because now you're part of my organization. And that was like the nicest thing to see about the past couple of years with Kobe. It's like, yeah, the Lakers aren't my team anymore, but I'd love to see how you guys are going to develop. And, man, it's just super, I'm still pretty devastated. It's really fresh,
obviously. Yeah, it's crazy. Surreal is a great word for it, because it's funny how the timeline works. It almost feels like it's a TV show in my head, because I remember having breakfast with my wife this morning, and it actually was on the bottom of, we were watching the news, and it was at the bottom of the newscast this morning that said a helicopter crash in Malibu. Or at the time it said Malibu, but my wife even remembered that part. And I thought nothing of it. I mean, yes, tragic accidents. Unfortunately, accidents do happen. And yeah, and then fast forward like an hour later, after we're done with groceries, we come home and it says the helicopter crash had Kobe in it. And I was like, what? I think that's part of the crazy part of me, because it almost feels like a movie. Like, you know, they show you something in the beginning, and then at the end, plot twist, it had everything to do with what happens at the end. So, still surreal to me. It's been a few hours. Excuse me. I mean, thanks for having us in your home, Dennis. But yeah, it was really weird for the last few hours since the news broke. And I haven't watched news as much as I did today since, you know, in a while. But it's still crazy to me. And yeah, like, well, I mean, like what Harold's doing right now, I've been on Twitter whenever I had a moment. My son had a basketball game today. It was really surreal. I mean, my son's 11. A lot of his contemporaries, they, you know, when they were infants or they were children, mm-hmm. they were still smaller kids when Kobe was already towards the end of their career. But you look around in the stand, and all the parents, all the dads, all the moms, we grew up watching Kobe. We watched him at his peak, at his highest. You know, basketball's a fun, crazy place like that. But you just know not everybody loved Kobe. You know, there are haters out there, but Kobe impacted everybody some way, somehow. You either loved him passionately or hated him for being on the wrong side of the team or doing something to your team or doing something for the game. But, you know, he was that impactful. So, you know, today is just a reflection of that. It'll allow every outlet today, news, social media, radio, television. It's just that's all they can talk about.
Let's kind of switch gears a little bit. And clearly all three of us have been affected by this. Kobe Bryant, definitely when we think about it, is a basketball, one of the greatest basketball players, arguably the greatest basketball player, depending on who you talk to, considering we had an episode where I claimed that the bracketology episode where the top five players was Kobe, and Kobe. definitely I am biased. But, you know, let's kind of talk about his basketball career. You know, why is it that, you know, I joke around and I goof around with Lewis that he's a part-time Laker, sometimes a Clipper fan. But I know he's a huge Kobe fan. But so what about, you know, maybe is there any memories that you have, growing up, certain games maybe that might come to mind that kind of shows you, that reminds you just how great that he was?
I actually got a couple of... There's a lot I can always remember about him. But for me, it first starts with the season when he played, when the Lakers got into the playoffs against the Jazz. I think it was in 97. Yes. And he had the chance to win two games and he airballed both times. And I was watching the game with one of my buddies in high school, because that's how old we are. Okay, let me backtrack really quick. Kobe Bryant is only a few years older than me. When he was in high school, I was in high school.
Like singular, dude.
Yeah. Literally two years. He's 2 years older. Yeah. I always remember that. He's 2 years older than me. When he was doing the things in high school basketball, we were playing high school basketball. And we were like, this is a guy. Well, okay, nobody obviously in our school was ever going to make it. But, you know, but we were just like,
I had a chance.
No, like we always thought, like, we're like the tallest dude in our team is like 5'11", but he's still Filipino. So we always knew, you know, none of us are going to make it. At the same time, there was a kid who's about to be a millionaire and he got to take Brandy to prom. So like we...
Two things Harold wanted.
Yeah, I totally wanted, you know, I thought the boy's mind is about him. But so... Yeah, that was his... We were watching the game, and my buddy was like, this kid is garbage. And my buddy was that guy. Like, he was the star basketball player at our high school. And he's like, this kid is garbage. I was like, dude, he's 19 years old. We're expecting him to win playoff games for a team that has Shaquille O'Neal, and I can't even remember who else was on that team right off the top of my head. But... Or it was probably like Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel and all those guys. But you have a teenager putting the weight of the world into his hands, at least the weight of the world in the basketball terms, and not being afraid to fail twice. And even then he was like, those are probably the most important shots I've ever taken in my life, because he missed them and everybody ragged on him. And then literally the next year he became the youngest all-star player ever. So it was like, you have moments like that. And then, like we were discussing earlier, yeah, there's a lot of championships. He's, you know, all the big scoring games and whatnot. But one time I was watching a Laker game at my old job, because, you know, at my old job we used to do entertainment kind of stuff. And it was the game against the Miami Heat. And we had turned some of the players at the casino had turned off the game or not stopped paying attention, because they were down by like 9 within a minute to go. And then they caught up. And then Kobe hit the running bank shot over Dwayne Wade with time running out. And I celebrated like we had just won the title. So I was running around the casino high-fiving people and everything. And people were like, I don't get it. It's just a regular season game. And I was like, this, like moments like this is, you know, you rarely get to see. And then getting to see it with your hometown team doing it, and then with your favorite basketball player doing it, it's always just going to be forever memorable to me.
No, it's funny. Like, and again, talking about how we even had an episode a couple of episodes back where your friend was kind of kind of ragging on the fact that, you know, that how much of a homer I am. Yeah. And, you know, your friend was talking about, oh, now that now that LeBron is here, you know, it's the only reason why you don't like LeBron is because, you know, of your love of Kobe. And, you know, the one thing I kind of wanted to tell him is like, yes, that actually is. And, you know, it's interesting to me. And the reason why when we did that bracketology, I told you that for me, Kobe is the greatest basketball player. And I think I mentioned it to you, is that when, you know, coming from the Philippines, we only had one team, and the one team was the Lakers. But the thing is, when I was there, I didn't have an opportunity to watch any games. I had no idea who Magic Johnson is. The only reason why I had Lakers is because my aunts and my uncles would give me old clothes, and there would be a Laker jersey there, you know, every so often. And I remember, when I got to America, I started watching NBA. I fell in love with it. And because it was the Lakers there, I was in LA. I was like, dude, I'm a Laker. Unfortunately, during that time, that was like the time of Nick Van Exel, AC Green, Vlade Divac, Cedric Ceballos. And, you know, at that point, I was like, yes, I am a Laker. And then we got Shaquille O'Neal, and I was like, ooh, this is going to be interesting. And all of a sudden, we got Kobe. Yeah. And I remember still in my memory, like, I still remember that series where, you know, the first time around, I have to admit to you that I was one of those people like, who gave that ball to this kid? But the second time around, the fact that happened, and at that point I was like, nobody else would actually, considering how much hate he got the day before, not just for me, but from every single news outlet, the fact that he would do it again, I was like, either this guy is the most arrogant person, stupidest person, whatever it is, or there's something about this guy.
Or he has balls the size of
exactly, yeah. Exactly. And as Harold kind of pointed out, he took that, you know, we joke around about the whole, it's a word now, Mamba mentality. Mm-hmm. But that was the reason, you know, like I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks back, and, you know, they were he was talking about, or somebody, one of his, not compatriots, somebody that he played with said that game was actually a turning point for Kobe, where he was like, okay, I could either wallow in my grief and say how terrible I am, or I'm going to improve on this. And those shots that he missed became the shots that he would be known for over the next, you know, 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's cool that, and I could be wrong, I think I'm almost positive. Do you remember what team he played, the last team he played?
The Jazz.
Yeah, he played the Jazz.
It was
the
Jazz. Game was against the Jazz. 60 points.
Yeah. Yep.
Two tail end memories for Kobe Bryant. Two air balls, 60 points.
Yeah.
That just, like, for me, that's something that's memorable.
It's poetry right there.
Yeah.
For me, like, I think one of my favorite parts about Kobe was, you know, starting from the draft, I still remember, correct me if I'm wrong, Harold, but
you're wrong.
They had to, the Lakers had to give up Vlade Divac and like another round draft pick to the Charlotte Hornets at the time to get Kobe's draft rights. I still remember, like, what are you doing, Jerry West? Like, you know, we can build around Vlade. I was 14. I'm stupid.
This is why we are never going to be anything.
We can build around Vlade and Anthony Peeler, dude. Those are our guys. I think it was, you're right. Like, everybody was just thinking, like, who's this teenage kid? And I think the other part, too, that kind of was so solid about his story was that this, when he was drafted, these were the shallow years for the NBA, where everybody, or the dialogue of the time was like, who's going to be the next Jordan? Who was the heir apparent? And like, there was a laundry list of all these dudes that were supposed to replace him, you know, like Harold Miner, Grant Hill, all these guys who had great careers, solid careers, but nobody could touch Kobe. And Kobe was like kind of a weird dark horse of like, maybe he'll be the next guy. He's also 6'6", you know, wiry muscle, shooting guard position, like maybe he'll be it. And obviously retrospect is 2020, but yeah, obviously Kobe was the next guy to pick up the slack and be the face of basketball and for LA for the last few years. And you know, you got to give it a lot of him a lot of credit too for, you know, bringing what it basketball to LA the way it is. Because not that I'm all college basketball guy too, but like from what I understand, like the last decade or so, you know, Los Angeles and California has been the hub for great players. Like, it used to be the Midwest. I had a boss who was from the Midwest who would say that the reason why all the great players came from the East Coast is because it would be cold and, you know, you're forced to play inside a gym and you stayed hours over there. But over here in California, LA, you know, he's made Kobe made a huge impact to make sure that kids, you know, from San Diego, San Francisco are still playing ball and loving it. And yeah, so yeah, that's all I can think of right now.
I was just thinking about two of my favorite shots he's ever taken was against the Seattle Supersonics. The Oklahoma City Thunder. The pre-Thunder.
The throwback Thunder jerseys.
But remember, there was a guy on their team that he used to call himself the Kobe Stopper. His name was Ruben Patterson.
He played one season with the Lakers, and he thought,
wasn't there another guy from the Spurs that called himself Kobe Stopper?
Bruce Bowen.
Yeah.
Everybody.
No, as long as he stood on your ankle, you're stopping everybody. He did the underfoot thing, so as soon as you jumped in the air, it's a jump shot.
Or kick you in the face if you're Larry Zerbiak.
Exactly.
Wally Zerbiak.
But like
Wallace Zerbiak.
That's his brother.
Zerbiakinski.
Yeah. That's the shortened version of his name. But
he's from Oakland, just so you know.
But Ruben Patterson was always like, yeah, he'll never put up a big game against me. And this was the last game of the 2004 season or 2003 season. And the Lakers are down by three. So of course, obvious play. Give the ball deep to Shaq and then pass the ball to Kobe. There was no way to get the ball into Shaq, so they just straight up gave it to Kobe, just turned around and threw it up. Guy on him, Ruben Patterson. Hits a three, not a big deal, overtime. The second shot, Lakers down by two, no time left, throw it into the corner with Kobe, fading away, doesn't even get to plant, he literally falls on his butt while the shot's going in the way, and you just see like the face on Ruben Patterson like, it's gonna go in, isn't it? And it was nothing. It's nothing but net. It's beautiful. Like, so I was talking to one of my buddies a couple months ago, and I told him I have a lot of basketball highlights on my YouTube list. Not sadly, but I'm pretty proud of it. One of them is when the Cavs are up 3-1, or the Warriors are up 3-1, and then they blow that lead because I don't know. That's just so satisfying.
It is.
And then like seeing LeBron James do that block on Andre Iguodala.
It's like our ASMR. Dude.
Yeah. It's
Kyrie for three.
Yeah, it's like eating elotes. But like the other thing I have, and then the other thing obviously is Kobe's last game. And then there's just a highlight reel of just Kobe hitting nasty shots. And it's obviously being, I posted this on Twitter. It's like, it's hard enough. It's not hard enough. It's the fact that we live in LA, and for me, I was born in LA. And I've always been a basketball
player. Shots fired.
Yeah. Sorry. No. And then I'll bring up another point really quickly, but, born in LA, always been a basketball fan since I was a kid. Always been a Lakers fan because I didn't even know that there was another LA team until I was 12 years old. I was like,
wait, there's another LA team?
According to the Losers. And they're pretty good.
The Sparks.
We're not going to lie. They're pretty good. And but at the same time, that's not the team I grew up loving. And then so you progress and you get this guy. And then the point I wanted to point out really quickly is there is a guy on Twitter who was just talking about one of the sportscasters. He's like, every time I do a post about Kobe Bryant, the people that like and retweet and talk about my post the most, Filipinos from the Philippines. Because there's only one basketball team for Filipinos.
Yeah, I guess, right?
That's crazy. I mean, I was.
Well, that's the other reason why I like the Niners.
Yes, because there's only one football team. Like, you know what's funny is when I went to the Philippines a few years ago, they had jerseys for every player, obviously, but they were all in Lakers. So, like, there was funny enough, like a LeBron James Laker jersey in 2013. And then I was just like,
maybe they were just psychic, dude.
Yeah, there's a Dwayne Wade one. I always wanted to buy him. Just to wear it around. I totally would have been, you know.
Just in case. Just
it's going to happen. Dude,
imagine if you bought that James one.
That's why. That's why I'm like, man. But, it's a little difficult.
Actually, it's like, my favorite Kobe shot or moment, I guess, actually, the funnily enough, it's not a shot. I'm going to go with the his pass, his alley-oop to Shaq. Yeah. In the against the Portland Trail Blazers in that insane playoff run where like the West was so stacked that year. It was the, you know, the Sacramento Kings, the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Suns were nipping at their buds, and that alley-oop to Shaq was just so like I can't even remember with a word for it, but yeah, I was watching that with my brother. It was one of those like those games where you're standing the whole fourth quarter because it was such a neck-to-neck competition. You know, it was a home game. It was nuts. And it just encompassed what could be, what could have been, or what was and what could have been. And I think what a lot of like fans have held on to, like that thought of like Kobe and Shaq should still keep playing together, or they should have stuck around a longer, or made amends or whatnot. It's because of that moment of like that euphoria of like, that's it. That was the game wasn't over at that alley-oop. But it was over. You know, if, you know, I love him to death too, but if Chick was still around, he would have put the game in the fridge right then at that alley-oop. But, you know, yeah, so that's one of my favorite, you know, moments ever. Not to mention, again, a non-on-court moment, but I think that's got to be his statue is when he was standing on, when he won Game 7 against, I think it was the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stands over the reporters' tables, and he has his hands outreach with one ball in one hand, and he is just, and confetti is coming down from the rafters. It is iconic. One of those, like, feel-good moments. It's like, you know, Avengers Endgame when Captain America lifts the hammer. It's like, oh, this is it. The game's in the fridge. Put it away. So yeah, another one of my great moments, one of my favorite moments are there. And not to mention Dennis, you already talked about it, but that last game, amazing. Lapsed fan, but I still
just
remember
just
that
like
day.
You were talking about how, you know, like it seemed like it's scripted. That could have been, you know, if somebody made a bet, you know what, this is the way we're gonna end the story. That was the most perfect way to do it.
That was your blackout moment. That's like, and then roll credits, and then all that good stuff. When I mean, not, you can't even say if they make a movie about it, it's like when they have Michael B. Jordan play Kobe Bryant, they're gonna have to add some of the CGI because Michael B. is like what 5'8", like he's all right. Yeah. So you're gonna have to add some CGI, but you know, I'm sure he can play the role. If he can play a boxer, he can play a basketball.
Are you gonna do Afro Kobe, or are you gonna
that's
do?
That's true. You're right, dude. Gonna be a two-parter.
I got real quick two things about his last game. I always remember it was on my sister's birthday.
Because
I talked so much trash online about like, this is Kobe Bryant's last day. This is the only thing important that's going on today. Uh-huh. And one of our friends was just like, I can't believe you would dare say that when you know it's your sister's birthday. And I was just like, I don't know if you know who I am, but I like to joke about stuff. And then she was like, oh. Yeah, right. And I was like, no, but I told her, my sister, no matter where we're eating for dinner,
there better be a damn TV.
And then the other thing is after the fact. So after the game happens, he scores 60 points. One of my friends online was trashing what happened. Literally like, really? That's how you're going to go out? You're going to go out as the most like selfish thing, whatever. And I was like, listen, man, I understand and your points are somewhat valid. But at the same time, who in their career gets to go out with a win and gets
on your own terms?
On your own terms, scoring more than anyone who's ever scored on the last day of basketball, or supposedly. And he was like, yeah, but at the same time, it was a meaningless game. I was like, who is it meaningless to? It's meaningless in terms of the standings, and we weren't going to make the playoffs anyways. So, you know, what's the point of letting the guy go all out? When he has, you know, nothing left to give. He has nothing to lose. Like, if they lost the game, that would have been tragic and whatever. But that's the story, like, the fairy tale ending is him getting the, technically the winning basket, him scoring all those points, and then, you know, getting that iconic Mamba outline. So,
I think that's one of the things where, especially people who are not fans of Kobe or maybe not LA Lakers fans, that have a lot of, I guess, negativity towards Kobe, is, at least personally, I think, is that they don't understand the type of player Kobe was, like who he's supposed to be. And, you know, like recently, and what's your friend's name again?
Eric.
You know, shout out to Eric, you know. Shout out to Eric real quick. Sorry, my bad.
Hey, man, he's a Patrick Ewing fan. Exactly. So he's still stuck in 95.
No, but shout out to Eric. You know, this last year, I've been able to watch LeBron more. You know, and
that's a nice Freudian slip, by the way.
I know. Was it a slip? No, but, you know, I've been able to watch him. And, you know, and is he great? Yes. Is he an amazing player? Yes. Could he be the all-time greatest? Maybe. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But for me, and at least the way I grew up, you know, that's not the type of player that I've wanted. Because, you know, for me, the greatest of all time, it's, you know, how do you estimate it? And maybe I'll ask you guys, well, maybe that's the next topic, whether or not Kobe Bryant is the greatest of all time. But for me, greatest of all time is if, you know, 5 seconds left on the clock, you know, there's one shot left, who would you want the ball to be in his hands? I would always go two people, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant.
Reggie Miller.
Nah, true.
I still love Reggie Miller.
D-Fish. but D-Fish, if it's like less than a second, then it's D-Fish.
Dude, D-Fish had some pretty quality shots.
No, but you know what I mean? No one defended him. And I think that's the thing, is that you know, people always say he's a great player because he's like Magic Johnson. He knows the proper play. He knows that, you know, which is the better percentage shot. True, but I want the guy who's willing. Again, it goes back to my original example. I want the guy who is willing to, even if it's going to mean that he's going to be the opposite of the goat, which is a goat.
Yes,
you know,
ironically,
I wanted a guy who would be willing to. And how many times did we see that where, you know, a couple seconds left, chance to tie, chance to win, Kobe Bryant shoots the shot, he misses, and he turns around and goes, okay,
yeah,
next time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mentality that I wanted. And so, you know, you guys were talking about the shots that I remember. There are two shots that I will always remember. And kind of long story, like earlier today, going back to like just the tragedy that Kobe Bryant died, you know, I kind of had to do, after the fact, after I found out, it just so happened that right afterwards, my daughter had a basketball game, you know, and I was really sad. My wife was there. We were both sad. And there was something kind of uplifting watching these kids, like, work hard, watching these kids, you know, do all these things. And my daughter comes to me, and afterwards to say, did you hear about Kobe Bryant? And I guess one of his teammates kind of mentioned. And so I was kind of, you know, Kobe Bryant, even though my daughter wasn't aware of Kobe when Kobe was still playing, you know, for her, because of me talking all the time, for her, Kobe Bryant is like the greatest basketball player ever, you know. And I've you know, so she was asking me, you know, kind of an example of, you know, why Kobe Bryant's the greatest. And the example I gave was the game where I forgot who they were playing, but it was the game where Kobe Bryant, it was basically the start of the end of Kobe Bryant's career.
Okay.
Where he tore his Achilles heel, right? Mm-hmm. And they needed that game to go and get into the playoffs, which they lost, unfortunately.
Yep.
But that was the thing. But if he didn't come in and make those shots, it would have never counted. Here's this guy whose Achilles was already torn off, you know, we live in a society today where load management is there, where somebody's not feeling well, you know, somebody has a you know, bruised eye, you know, somebody
they're counting every second,
or yeah, groin, you know, groin injury. I'm looking at you, LeBron James. you know, he, LeBron James was one of the guys that kind of talked about, ooh, I'm against you know, load management. But here's a guy who, he already tore his Achilles, could barely walk. He basically, you know, and he, it wasn't like there was like five people carrying him, you know, and he slithers, you know, because he's the Mamba, makes those two shots and then leaves. And it was one of those games that I was there. And I think aside from this moment of, you know, that was like, when I think of Kobe, that was always like one of the things that I remember, just how important, you know, A, the game was to him, and B, how tough the guy, the dude was. And, you know, that's one of the things I'm always going to remember and always think, whether or not the dude was one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest, I will always use that example.
You know what's funny about that is I was watching that game with a bunch of Clipper fans, and they were like, too bad Kobe's down, you're going to lose. And then he hits the two shots, and, you know, you never think about it. And then we went to a bar afterwards, and then that's when we see the news. It was like, he tore his Achilles, like, wild.
Off.
Like, and then I was like, oh, you're talking smack about the guy that literally just lost half his foot and hit two free throws on it.
And then on one like, foot, he made two free throws.
And I was like, and look at his form.
Exactly. It wasn't beautiful. Like it clunked out or something. Like, it was still swish.
Yeah. I was like, dude, beast.
You know, anything else that we kind of want to talk about before we kind of close this out?
Talk about the 81-point game.
True.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. I still love those Jalen Rose commercials.
Like, that, not gonna lie, not gonna lie, that, because that, the anniversary of that was just a week and a half ago. It was very recent.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. So that repost, they do the always, like annually they do the repost of Stuart Scott talking about the game, ironically, because you know, Stuart Scott, who passed away a few years ago, but he was the anchor on SportsCenter that night, and he was like, yeah, there was a football game going on, but did you guys know that Kobe Bryant? That's another highlight I love watching, is just him accumulating all the points, and it's a goddamn video game, man.
Yeah.
It's like they put the little score in the corner, it's like cling, 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 cling. And it's like he didn't even hit that many threes.
No, actually, he did. He had like a bunch of 20-foot jumpers, 50-foot jumpers.
Yeah, it was nasty. And he was like dunking on everybody. He made Chris Bosh look Boshy.
Today's like analytics coaches would hate that game because there's a bunch of like 20-foot jumpers and whatever. But screw them. He scored 81 points, but dude.
Then that game and then the 62 against Dallas. Or 60 against 62 against Dallas. Three quarters.
But again, those two games that you talk about are the same two games people will always talk about why he's not the greatest of all time.
Oh, dude.
Because he's selfish. Because because he never made anybody better.
Did you?
You know, LeBron James is great because he makes everybody else around him better.
Have you seen that one?
Okay.
There's one quote I was reading today, and it still always cracks me up. And it was like, how can we put so many shots in the, up on those games? He's like, because my teammates were Smush Parker and Chris Mim. Who was I going to pass the ball to? Smush Parker and Chris Mim?
And nobody talks about it.
Still, I feel bad about Smush Parker because he actually wasn't. Let's be honest here. If it wasn't for Smush Parker and Luke Walton, Kobe never gets that shot against the Phoenix Suns.
That's true. Without Meta World Peace, we would have never gotten that championship against
the Celtics.
The Celtics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, by the way, real quick story. Did I ever tell you my Celtics story? That how I almost got into a fight.
Please, because my wife
over there in Boston, right?
No, we were in Hawaii.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
My wife and I were in Hawaii, and my brother Robert, just so happened that was the time there we both were there with one of his friends, and it was what, I think it was game seven. I forget what game it is, but it was the deciding. It was the deciding game for that series, and that was the game where Kobe Bryant just wasn't doing well. You know, he was clunking everything, and you know, we were there, and my brother Robert and I were like cheering really, really loud. And when the Celtics made that push and we were like in the brink of like losing, like there were a bunch of really tall, can I say that word? that were literally shouting, and they weren't like looking at our stream, but they were like the words were pretty much towards Addison. You know, right. What do you think of that now? What do you think of that now? You know, and then when the Lakers came back and we were winning, and my brother and I were standing up, and we weren't even hiding who we were talking to. We were talking to these guys who are Celtics fans, and my wife and my brother's friend was kind of like, Guys, you guys gotta calm down. And it was like we were like the obnoxious bros. We were like high fiving each other. Yeah, fist bumping
in your face.
I want to do a quick anecdote just because I think it's still hilarious. So a few years back, we had decided a long time ago, by the way, we had decided that we were gonna throw a surprise party for Dennis's wife at my house, and. Unfortunately, I was kidnapped right before the party happened, so I was not able to attend said party.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was great.
We're partying at your house without you there.
Yeah, and everyone was like, oh, it's a joke. And I was like, no, these jerks are not, they're not, they think I'm joking around, but I didn't want it.
And I was like, Harold will be here soon.
Yeah, no, they stole me. So
is that the one where we like mixed around his DVD collection?
Yeah, and you
flipped this bed upside down.
Yeah, and then you
it was great.
It was great. But the next day,
friendship.
You know? So the next day was when the Lakers played the Suns, and Kobe hit that shot. Here's the thing: we were supposed to watch the basketball games together, but you guys were kind of mad at me. So I was like, fine, then I'll just watch it by myself. So when Kobe hits the first shot, the layup, it's like, oh, cool. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, nobody's here. When he hits the game winner, I'm literally like screaming in my house. And I was like, this would have been so much cooler if my friends were here. So I could share this moment with.
Well, how dare you get kidnapped is all I'm saying. You know.
In this day and age, come on.
I know. I mean, guys who kidnap me, you guys know who you are. Some of you guys listen to this. It's still not a good time. We could talk about this on Patreon sometime. But yeah. Oh, you know what? I know we were kind of wrapping this up, but there should be the one thing that we should not overlook is the fact that Kobe didn't just pass away by himself.
Yes. Well, that was going to be the last thing I want to talk about is legacy. You know, Kobe Bryant's legacy. We've just talked about basketball, but, you know, Kobe Bryant after the fact, and I think that's one of the reasons why it hurt so much was that, you know, we just witnessed the first act of this great basketball player, and we were just about to see the second act, and I was really looking forward to it. You know, he was was it months or a year after he retired, he got an Oscar.
Yeah,
you know, he's been writing books. You know, but the one thing that I was really so excited about and so excited to see was the fact that he was finally getting back into basketball, and he was, you know, because of his daughter, Gianna Bryant. Was showing, you know, the same Mamba, you know, skill, and then out of nowhere, you know, started actually, you know, started teaching. It was funny. I was I was waiting for you guys. I was listening to Spectrum.net, James Worthy was kind of talking about some of his favorite memories, and he was talking about how. 2 years ago or 2 months ago, Kobe Bryant actually called him and asked him, you know, what are some drills I can teach, I can use so I can make my daughter a better player. You know, he was so into that, you know, that the reason why he was, you know, from what we've seen, the reason why he was in that helicopter today was because he was on his way to Orange County to for either a game or I forget what it was. I think it was a road game in Orange County, and that's the reason why he was there. And unfortunately, as Harold kind of like was pointing out, his eldest daughter Gianna was there along with a teammate and a parents of the teammate, I believe. You know, so still news coming in, and I think that's the legacy that the unfortunate legacy of Kobe Bryant is his children. You know, and that sounds terrible, but you know, as a father myself, you know, that was the one thing that kind of crushed me.
Yeah. I think I remember that was one of the first things I asked you guys to, because I think Harold had his fingers on the news a lot better than I did. Jeez. You know, I asked, you know, were any of his kids with him? Because that's, you know, that I think that the second part of his story, that was for me, that was one of the best parts, is that he brought his kids to the games. He was such an advocate for not just basketball, but, you know, not to get into gender politics, but for women's basketball. Yeah.
He's been at the WNBA games.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. So, like, I think, you know, for the sake of women's basketball, for girls' basketball, for the growth of that sport, for girls' sports in general, like, just having an advocate, having a guy with Kobe's stature be out there for them was a huge get. Because, you know, wherever he goes, the news will follow. And then whenever news follows, the, you know, the likes and the videos and the posts will go there too. And, you know, will raise awareness. And so it kills me. It kills me. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm a dad too. It hurt my feelings so much knowing that, you know, his final moments were with his daughter, and his daughter was with his dad at least. So, but it's such a tragic, tragic thing. But, you know, speaking of legacy, I think one of the best things he's going to leave, or he has left, is, he has a great facility out in Newberry Park. I know it's ironic because I think you're right. They were flying from that place to their game or wherever they're coming from. In Newberry Park, it's called Mamba Academy. Mm-hmm. You know, you knock him for what he is. He knows his brand. It's Mamba everything.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Odin. It's Odin this, Odin that.
It's like Batman, you know.
Exactly.
It's the Batarang.
You know, so it's like, you know, Mamba Academy down Newberry Park, huge, great facility. I actually have a friend, or, you know, a son of one of the, I'm sorry, I coach a son or a kid whose dad is a therapist over there. And he was just telling me, you know, he was just watching Gianna and Kobe yesterday. You know, they had a game, I guess, over there. So, you know, his legacy is, you know, girl sports and sports in general. You know, my son practices and plays here in Sierra Canyon. It is one of those Mamba Academy, or it's sponsored. I know your school is sponsored by Adidas. I guess Kobe and LeBron now, you know, his son plays at Sierra Canyon, also sponsors that team. But they do have a flag up there with Mamba's name under it. So, you know, that's going to be his legacy in LA in basketball, is that he bought this place so that, you know, there's youth sports, girls sports, sports in general can continue, and that, you know, years from now, you know, maybe some kids might not have seen him play, but they'll know, hey, I played at Mamba Academy, or I've had his shoes, or I've had, you know, I see his highlights, and I've seen his statue. Eventually, hopefully, they're gonna green light that statue's gonna be.
That was always a guaranteed.
Yeah. I think it's just a matter of like what they're gonna do.
It
right?
has to be that.
Well, it's interesting that you're just talking about that, but this year was supposed to be when he was eligible for.
No, he's eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, is he really? Okay,
but I thought this was gonna be the year that he was gonna be actually. Inducted.
He's gonna be inducted.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, like, okay. You've seen his class, right?
Mm.
It's him, Tim Duncan, Chris Bosh. I forgot someone else.
Steve Nash.
I love the fact you
put. Oh, I'm sorry. What class? Oh, I thought you meant draft class. Never mind. My bad. I thought
but,
class.
Like, who's eligible for this year?
Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't see that.
I think Ray Allen. But oh, really? It's like, okay. It's like, you know, or maybe not Ray Allen, but him and Tim Duncan, you know.
Oh yeah, dude.
Two of the greatest players of all time.
Was that generation? That was just...
That's why they were like, it's going to be the greatest induction class of all time, because let's say Michael Jordan went in with Charles Barkley, which he didn't,
mm-hmm.
but that would have been a comparable class to this.
Yeah.
So
comparable, not the same, because
no,
Charles had a whole zero.
Yeah, but rings. I mean, but still, like, you know, in terms of star power, indelibility for this game, and then you have Tim Duncan, the quintessential power forward,
mm-hmm.
and then you have Kobe Bryant, you know, 1A, 1B with Michael Jordan in terms of shooting guards, and now it's like it's like this big black cloud that's hovering over everything.
Yeah,
it's like one of my buddies. met Kobe last year at a book signing, and he told him, he's like, "Hey man, I will see you at your Hall of Fame induction because I bought tickets just for that." And then he, like today, he was a person that was like, "Hey, have you heard?" And then I was like, "I have heard." And he was like the first person we started talking about it, and he's like, "I gotta go now. It's like, I don't know who what's gonna happen, but it's crazy." Like some of the, if you haven't seen some of the tributes that he did. Like, you know, they had the first game that they had. They did both teams ran out the 24-second clock.
Yeah.
Did you see the other
one? Oh, really? No, I didn't see that. Yeah. Okay.
The one with the Celtics and...
No, there's one that just happened. It was... So, it's the Suns and somebody. Mm-hmm. But they... the first team ran out the 24-second clock. So, when the team going on offense got back, they did the 8-second violation.
Uh-huh. Oh.
The 8-second backcourt violation. Nice. And I was like,
yeah.
The guy has two jerseys.
The guy retired.
Retired.
At the same time.
For the greatest basketball organization of all time. That's. And then everyone else has been pushing, like, you know, hey, why don't they should retire 24 for everybody. Like they were saying that for Michael Jordan, but I mean, Michael Jordan was on, you know, different teams, so the impact was never as much, but yeah.
Yeah, I heard too. I mean, of all the tributes today, I heard Trae Young. Warmed up in a number 8 jersey.
Played in it.
Yeah, well, he played in it too. That's awesome, dude. Yeah, that's crazy. Because I heard Gianna, like her best or her favorite player was Trae Young. So it's just a crazy cycle, or you know, cycle for these players or these professionals. Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I just read it. But supposedly, Madison Square Garden at a certain point flashed purple and gold.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, of all, wow, I just got emotional there. Yeah. Of all the places, you know. So
like right now, so the Grammys is happening tonight.
Oh yeah, yeah. Please tell me about this.
Have you heard about this?
Keep right?
The Grammys is happening tonight. The Grammys have every year. The Grammys happens at Staples Center. That's why they have the Grammy road trip. Mm-hmm. Every year for them and the other team. But. Today, they were like, the police are saying, please stop coming to Staples Center because the Grammys are coming. And everybody's like, nobody cares about it. First of all, no one cares about the Grammys, period. You know, second of all, the guy who built the Staples Center has passed away. And you're telling us that we can't come here and like pay tribute to the man?
Yeah.
There's, so you know how at LA Live and at Staples Center, they have giant screens everywhere. They are all in memoriam of Kobe Bryant right now. And it is, like, I've seen the pictures. It's, I'm pretty sure if they do some kind of tribute, I'm going to end up going. And if you guys want to come with, you know.
I'm right there. I will catch a dash.
Because, like, remember when the Lakers won?
I hate you so much.
Well, it's probably going to be around your work area.
That's true, exactly.
But when the Lakers won the titles in the late 90s, early 90s, the late 2000s, I went to the celebration at the Memorial Coliseum just so we could see Kobe Bryant holding the title. And then the next year at the parade. And I got super angry at the parade because he happened to be on the other side of the bus, on the street. He was like on the other side of we were on. So like when we were there, we're like, I think I see his hat. But you know,
is that Tyronn Lue? Damn it, no, move.
But see, move. The thing, like, so you know,
nobody likes you, Lue.
The Memorial Coliseum thing was great because you know we hadn't won since 2002, and or 2002, and we they had never done a championship celebration at the Memorial Coliseum before because it fits like you know 100,000 mm-hmm. people, and they're like, okay, we're gonna open it up for 50,000 people. The first 50,000 fans that show up. You can come to this celebration. 2 o'clock in the morning, I was outside of the Memorial Coliseum, sleeping on a like one of those lawn chairs. And then I was just like, well, I only got 12 more hours to go.
I can do it. Mama mentality.
I was like, if Kobe Bryant can will himself to a title with Pau Gasol, then I can will myself to not using the restroom for 4 hours.
Jesus.
So, yeah, that's my mama.
That's your mama moment right there. Yeah. Holding in your pee for 12 hours.
It wasn't pee, my friend.
Wait, what? What? Hold on. It wasn't pee. Never mind. I don't want to know now. So, I mean, you know, unless there's anything else that you guys want to talk about, I think, you know, in the end, you know, for me, this is, you know, we came in here, and I have to tell you, this is a little cathartic. I think that's the word.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
It's a cathartic moment for me where
it's
an opportunity for us to grieve at the same time honor.
And celebrate.
Sure. But again, you know, I think, you know, as Harold kind of pointed out, the one thing that we have to remember is that there is, you know, no matter how many tributes we're going to get, no matter how many highlight reels we're going to get, we're, you know, the fact of the matter is we lost 9 people. We lost 9 people, some of them more famous than others, but these are people in the prime of their lives, you know, especially the children who were there. And I think that's the one thing that we kind of have to remember, and we kind of have to, well, pray for, you know what I mean? So, you know, thank you for everybody for listening. I hope this made a little bit of sense. Hopefully some of the laughs that we had and some of the memories you had kind of made your Monday morning a little bit better. So this is Two Fanboys in a Filthy Casual with a special episode. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold. Mamba out.
Mamba out.